السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we begin our lecture series in the holy month of Muharram, I call upon you to join me in sending our salams to Imam al-Hussein from afar. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He opens our hearts to the message of Imam al-Hussein and gives us the resolve to be able to walk in his footsteps. So join me in sending our salams to Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'ik alayka minni salamullah abadan ma baqitu wa baqiya al-laylu wal-nahar ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In the month of Muharram, we prepare ourselves to be influenced by the message of Imam al-Hussein. Are you okay, brother?
Yeah.
Inshallah. We open our hearts to the inspiration of Imam al-Hussein. And it's important for us to prepare our minds and also to prepare our hearts. You'll find that there are many people who understand the message of Imam al-Hussein. I'm sure you'll find university professors who could introduce Imam al-Hussein better than I or you can introduce. But it doesn't change their lives. It doesn't make them a Husseini. Sometimes it doesn't even make them a better person. And the reason is that they have not internalized the message of Imam al-Hussein. It has reached their minds, but it has not sunk into their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the primary function of the heart is to understand. And if you want to bring about change in your life, you have to understand the message of Islam and experience it in your hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. The problem is that they have hearts, like everybody has hearts, but they do not understand with their hearts. So the question that I would like to look at tonight is, how do we prepare our hearts to partake and experience the message of Imam al-Hussein from the tragedy of Karbala? And the best of role models that we have are the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So how did the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam ask us to prepare ourselves before we come for the majalis of Aba Abdullah? And I want to share 3 points with you. And if you want, you can note these points down as well. The first point is that it's important for us to appreciate that these 10 days that started tonight are 10 unique days of the year. There are no other 10 days like them. In the month of Ramadan, you know that the last 10 nights and days of Ramadan are the most important 10 nights and days of the month of Ramadan. And the Prophet of Allah taught us not to lose even a moment of it. Take advantage of every moment. The first 10 days and nights of Dhul-Hijjah are the most important days and nights of Dhul-Hijjah. In the hadith of the Holy Prophet, he says that no deed performed at any time of the year can be better than the deed that you perform in the first 10 days and nights of Dhul-Hijjah. And so you don't want to waste even a moment of it. In the same way, these 10 days and nights are a unique opportunity. What we can achieve together on these 10 days and nights, we will not be able to achieve at any other time of the year. So every moment counts. Not only those moments when you are here in the lecture, but even the moments that you are at home, even the moments when you are at school, even the moments when you are at work, every moment counts. And it's an opportunity for us to develop our love for the Ahlul Bayt, to strengthen our connection with the Ahlul Bayt, because we're going to need that in the rest of the year. One of the things that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us is that if you want to strengthen your connection with us, then when we are celebrating, you celebrate. And when we are grieving, you have to be grieving as well. The first Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi afdalu salati wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He says in a beautiful narration, واختار لنا شيعة ينصروننا. God has chosen for us followers who help us. What is the sign of these followers? يفرحون لفرحنا ويحزنون لحزننا. When we are happy, they celebrate with us. And when we are sad, they grieve with us. ويبذلون أنفسهم و وَيَبْذُلُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَنفُسَهُمْ فِينَا. And they're willing to give, to sacrifice their wealth and their selves for us. أُولَٰئِكَ مِنَّا وَإِلَيْنَا. They are counted as one of us and they are associated to us. The first thing that we must tell ourselves as we start tonight is that these 10 nights and days are an opportunity that we do not want to miss. Secondly, our lifestyle has to change during these 10 days and 10 nights. Sometimes we think that the only change that happens is that every night in these 10 days, we will be coming to the center and spending 2 to 3 hours over here. And our regular evening programs are going to go out of the window. And maybe the next day the children will not be able to wake up as early for school. What we see from the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt is that your days and nights are supposed to be completely different. The sixth holy imam or the eighth holy imam, he says in a hadith, and you want to listen carefully to this hadith. فَعَلَى مِثْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ فَلْيَبْكِلْ بَاكُونَ. Then for the likes of Al-Husayn, should those who cry, cry over them. فَإِنَّ الْبُكَاءَ عَلَيْهِ يَحُطُّ الظُّنُوبَ الْعَظَامِ. Because when you cry genuinely for Al-Husayn, it even wipes out some of your greatest sins. Then he starts to describe his own father, the seventh holy imam, during the first 10 days and nights of Muharram. So he says, قال كان أبي إذا دخل شهر المحرم لا يرى ضاحكا. My father, when the month of Muharram would enter, you would never see him laughing. You would never hear him joking. وكانت الكابة تغلب عليه حتى تمضي عشرة أيام. And the sense of grief and sorrow would overwhelm him until 10 days would complete. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْعَاشِرِ. And when the 10th day would come, the day of Ashura would come. كَانَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ يَوْمَ مُصِيبَتِهِ وَحُزْنِهِ وَبُكَائِهِ. That day was the day of his sorrow, the day of his grief, the day of his tears, when tears never flow, never stop flowing. And he used to say, وَيَقُولْ هُوَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي قُتِلَ فِيهِ الْحُسَيْنِ. This is the day on which Hussein was martyred. Now I have a few recommendations that I want to share with you. together, let us make some of these lifestyle changes. One, during these 10 days and nights, all of our celebrations and festivities have to go out of the window. They are no longer important. It may be that some of you, your birthdays happen to be during these 10 days and nights. During these 10 days and nights, your birthdays are not important. Believe me, your birthdays are not as important as you think they are. I know it's very hard for some people to digest and to palate this, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how to put life into perspective, to see the greater purpose of life. But I tell you that these celebrations that we have during these 10 days and nights, let us not give any importance to them. These are the days of grief. One. Two. Let us create an atmosphere of Muharram wherever we go. In our homes, in our cars, if you can, even in your places of work. There should always be a visual cue that reminds you you are in the month of Muharram. These are special days and special nights. At home, as a family, come together, and the way we've put up black in the center, put up black in your houses. Yarhamukumullah. Even if the only thing you have is the flag or a banner, put it up in your house. Put up that flag. Right? When you are in the car, listen to Latmiya. Listen to Nauha. Turn off Z95. For these 10 days and 10 nights, let's change our lifestyle. Listen to a lecture instead. You go to work, have a visual cue over there that reminds you that you are in a particular time of the year that's different. Three. Let us take a break from committing sins. And let us perform all of our wajibat. Right? Those things that we do which are haram, let's take a break from them. The haram relationships that we have, let's cut them off. Those wrong conversations that we have online sometimes, take a break from it. Just for 10 days. I tell you what happens when we commit sins during the day and we come for the lecture of Imam Al-Hussein in the evening. You feel miserable. You feel a lot of pain and agony and suffering in your heart. Because on one hand you know what you're doing is wrong. On the other hand, when you come over here, you feel miserable that you're doing that thing. And the human heart doesn't like to suffer. Nobody likes to go through anguish. So we start coping with it. And how do we cope with it? If we don't want to stop committing sins, doing those things which are wrong, how do you cope with it? You cope with it by telling yourself, I don't like to come for these lectures. Or when we come for them, we don't like to listen to what is being said. Or if we listen to it, we don't accept it in our hearts. It's time to stop that. It's time to start good habits, even for 10 days. If I don't pray my salat, let me pray my salat. Right? If I don't help my parents, during these 10 days and 10 nights, help your parents. For some reason, I don't have a good relationship with them, I don't talk to them, I don't respond properly to them. During these days and nights, do that. Now, many of us I know have a dual personality. And some of you have told me that you struggle with it. You have a personality at home and you have a personality at school. We have a personality for our family and we have a personality for our friends. We have a personality for the masjid, we have a personality for the public. During these 10 days and nights, let's just have one personality. a Husseini personality. Even if you're a person who doesn't wear their hijab properly, or you don't observe haya properly, during these days, wear it properly. Wear it proudly. Wear clothing that is modest clothing. Okay? Now, I know that some of the pressures that we face, one of the reasons why we slack when it comes to our hijab, when it comes to lowering our gaze, is because we're trying to fit in. And we want to be accepted. And we want to find a sense of belonging. During these 10 days and nights, you don't need a sense of belonging. You belong to Imam al-Hussein. You are his property. You are his companion. Every night when you walk into this particular center, I want you to think that you are walking into the tent of Imam al-Hussein on the night of Ashura. And ask yourself, what would a companion of Imam al-Hussein do? So number two, let us change our lifestyle during these days. Number three, let us shed tears for Imam al-Hussein. Cry for him. Have an emotional attachment to him. Every night we're going to be having a lecture. And maybe you'll be listening to a lot of lectures online as well. And those lectures are equally important. However, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, in the month of Muharram, their focus was on having an emotional relationship with Imam al-Hussein. I want to share with you a beautiful hadith from the sixth holy Imam, al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi afdal as-salati was-salam. He's talking to a companion who comes to him from Iraq. His name is either Masma or Musma. He says, Ya Masma, Anta min Ahli al-Iraq? Are you from Iraq? Ama ta'ati qabr al-Hussein? Do you not go and visit and do the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein? Qultu, la. Masma' says, I said no. Ana rajulun mashhurun min ahli al-Basra. I'm a very famous person from the people of Basra. Wa indana man yattabi'u hawa hadha al-khalifa. And amongst me, people who are around me, are those who support the current Khalifa. And I am afraid that if I were to go for Ziyarah and to show my love for the Ahlul Bayt, they would go and report it to the Khalifa. Now listen to the conversation. So the Imam says to him, قَالَ لِي أَفَمَا تَذْكُرُ مَا صُنِعَ بِهِ. Do you not remember what happened to Al-Hussein? Do you recollect? Do you remember the tragedy that happened to him? قَالَ بَلَى. I said, yes, I do. قَالَ. Now listen to the question the Imam asks. Imagine if today you had the opportunity to go into the tent of our 12th Imam. And you sat there and you told him that we have a program at the Husayniyah for Imam al-Hussein. And you say to him that we remember the tragedy of Karbala. Do you wonder what is the first question that he would ask you? Here is the first question. قَالَ فَتَجْزَ. Do you cry? Do you weep? Do you feel sad? Do you break down? Do you feel unnatural? These tears that flow from our eyes are a sign of our love for the Ahlul Bayt. We need to build that love. It's the most important capital that you have in your life. During these days and nights, I hope that the Ahlul Bayt will become more dear to you than anybody else. Somebody asked our first Imam, how much did you love the Prophet of Allah? Our first Imam says, I loved him, we loved him more than we loved ourselves and our fathers and our mothers and our wealth. We loved him more than a thirsty person loves cold water. When you love them so much and you hear about what happened to them, tears start to flow from your eyes. So listen to what he says. قَالَ إِي وَاللَّهِ Yes, by God, I cried. وَاسْتَعْبِرُ لِذَلِكَ And tears flow from my eyes. حَتَّى يَرَى أَهْلِي أَثَرَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ Until my family can see that I am in a state of grief, I'm not anymore in a normal state. فَأَمْتَنِعُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ I even stop eating sometimes. حَتَّى يَسْتَبِينَ ذَلِكَ فِي وَجْهِ Until they can tell that I have not been eating when they look at my face. فَقَالَ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ دَمْعَتَكَ Then he said, may Allah have mercy upon your tears. And later on he said to him, أَمَا إِنَّمَا سَتَرَى عِنْدَ مَوْتِكَ حُضُورَ آبَائِي لَكَ He says, I make you a promise. If you cry for Al-Hussein during the last moments of your life, my parents, my fathers, Imam Al-Hussein, will come to welcome you into the hereafter. Now, one of the questions I come across is that, what if I can't cry for Imam Al-Hussein? What if I never developed the ability to cry for Imam Al-Hussein? I wasn't raised like that. And our culture is a different culture. We don't cry when we commemorate somebody's life. When you have Remembrance Day ceremony to remember somebody who passed away 100 years ago, we're sad, we're silent, but we don't cry for them. And what if I feel embarrassed because I'm sitting next to somebody I know to cry for Imam Hussein? So what I will ask you to do is, let us work towards crying for Imam Hussein. Aspire towards that moment. Try to shed a tear if you can. Okay? When we go into Masa'ib and we're narrating the tragedy of Karbala, put aside your phones. Clear your thoughts. Even if you can't cry on the first night or the second night or the third night, that's okay. Just listen and feel the tragedy of Karbala. Imagine the tragedy of Karbala. Imagine you're standing there on the day of Ashura. And if you want to, put your head down. Put your hand around your eyes. Try to look like you're crying. In the hadith we're told, if you cannot cry, then act as if you are trying to cry. Inshallah, Imam Al-Hussein will help you. If you feel embarrassed, don't sit next to a person whom you know. Alhamdulillah, there's space. If you still feel embarrassed, then remember, on the day of judgment, every eye will be crying except for a few eyes. One of them are those eyes that have cried for Imam Al-Hussein. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now I want to end tonight's talk on a reflective moment. And we're going to have many reflective moments during this lecture series. We have been commemorating the Aza of Imam Al-Hussein for over 1300 years. Many of us have been coming for the Aza of Imam Al-Hussein from the time that we could walk, and even before then. We come year after year, night after night, we listen to lecture after lecture. We shed tear after tear, inshallah. We also spend a lot of money putting these programs together. We spend money over the location, the speaker, the food, the other preparations. Thousands of dollars are spent in one community, millions around the world. Hundreds of volunteer hours are put into making this program. Putting up this black cloth, must have taken so many hours. At the end of the 10 and 12 days, do you ever wonder to yourself what is the output of the program? What have we achieved? What is the productivity of this program? If you look at any company, the moment they invest time and effort into a project, they want to know what are the results of the project. They want to see a report of the results. And you can't just tell them that all of the employees were involved in the project, so it has been successful. No, they want to know, has it met the objectives? Has it not met the objectives? What about our company? For so many years we've been having these programs. We've spent thousands of dollars on them. You spent countless hours putting them together. Have you ever wondered what is the productivity of these programs? Just saying that every night 200 people came for the Bagnamaj, for the program, is not enough. To say that this year we had food every night, that's not going to be enough. So the questions that we need to be asking is, does it make me a better person? Year after year, am I becoming a better person? When I come out of these 12 days, am I a changed person? To me, it seems that year after year, our aspirations are going lower and lower. The bar is being lowered, the standards are being lowered more and more. Speak to some of the brothers, and one of them was saying that when I was young, I aspired to be the khatib on the member. And after so many years, you don't even want to know. What about us as a community? Are we growing as a community? Are we progressing as a community? If we take the issue of social justice, can you put your finger on any? Let's talk about Vancouver. We don't have to go beyond Vancouver. When you talk to Vancouverites about social justice, can you put your finger on any single Shia community and say that they are championing social justice? If that's not the case, then what part of Imam Hussein's objectives are we achieving through these programs? What about humanitarian support? Helping people who are in need, those who are poor, helping them on the ground, working with them, getting to know them. You know, we're good in giving money to an organization, and we tell them, you go and you help the poor, because I'd like to be able to get sleep at night. What about working with the poor themselves? You know, in Pakistan, there used to be a philanthropist by the name of Abdul Sattar Idi. Some of you may have heard of his name. Okay. This man was a great personality, not because he was rich. He was a great personality because he was generous in his heart. Whenever he would see orphans, he would take them and take care of them. It didn't matter to him where they came from. These are orphans that even their parents didn't want them, he wanted them. Today there are so many people in Pakistan, when you look at their birth certificate, the name of the father is Abdul Sattar Idi. And he had an ambulance. And in his ambulance, he would go around collecting dead bodies that even families didn't want to collect. Even the government didn't want to collect. He would pick up these dead bodies. He would wash them, shroud them, say Salat al-Mayyit for them, and bury them, and give dignity to them. Now my question is that, if they are orphans, and there were dead bodies in this city, was the Shia community at the forefront of helping? If not, then what is the output that we have from these programs that we have in the month of Muharram? What about when it comes to the environment and taking care of the environment? Any of our communities at the forefront of taking care of the environment and being environmentally responsible? We find that we waste and use more styrofoam and dump them in the landfills in the name of Imam Al-Hussein than any other community. If that is the case, then my question to you is, what is the output of these programs? Now you will say, what does it matter? Our responsibility is to have these programs to propagate the message of Imam Al-Hussein, and inshallah our community will propagate it to their neighbors and their friends. That is our objective, right? So let me tell you how this world has changed. Today when you want to propagate the message of Imam Al-Hussein, people are not going to ask you what was his message. The question they're going to ask you is, does it make a difference in people's lives or not? Has it made a difference in people's lives? You know, recently there was a hurricane in Houston, Hurricane Harvey. And the hurricane hit Houston so hard that many of the areas of Houston were underwater. And many people lost their homes and their shelters. And so they had to make makeshift shelters. School gymnasiums, people who had big warehouses, they turned them into makeshift shelters. Now there's a pastor there, or a priest over there by the name of Joel Osteen. Some of you may have heard of his name. He's so inspiring, he's so popular, he's so good at presenting his message and inspiring people that he doesn't just have a church, he's got a mega church.
He sells Ticket on Ticketmaster too.
He sells Ticket on Ticketmaster too. Right? I mean, it's huge churches, people coming in there. But when this hurricane hit Houston, for whatever reason, he didn't open up his church and turn it into a shelter. Nobody today asks what was his message. Was it inspirational? Was it not inspirational? Think about this. Nobody even asks, is he right or wrong? The only question people were asking after that is, if his message is right and so inspirational, how come it didn't make a difference for him? And it didn't make a difference for his community. We want to go out there and spread the message of Imam Al-Hussein. People are going to ask us, does it make a difference to your community? What if somebody came and asked you that this winter was a very harsh winter? The snow fell 5 to 6 times. Temperatures were below freezing for a very, very long time. Tell me, how many Shia communities opened up their centers and turned them into a shelter? How many? Then you tell them, but our Imam Hussein is a great Imam. Then what do they tell you? If he's such a great inspiration, how come he hasn't made a difference for you people? And why is he going to make a difference for us if he hasn't made a difference for you? So my question to you again is, what is the output of these programs if we're not progressing as individuals and as a community year after year? Now we want to change that. Especially this year, we want to change that. And I hope together we can be part of that change. And it begins by changing ourselves. Now inshallah, I'll introduce the topic of discussion tomorrow evening. But tonight, I'm going to make 2 promises to you, and I want 2 promises from you. And I think that's a fair deal. I promise you, one, that the material that we talk about is not going to be complicated. It's not going to be difficult. It's going to be simple material that you have to think about. And that I will demand from you, that you think. And secondly, I also promise you the material is going to be relevant material. It's going to be something that makes a difference in your life. You should be able to walk away out of that door every night and say to yourself, here is one thing I can do differently in my life. If you can't do that, you come to me after the program and you say, you didn't keep your promise today. Okay? In return, I ask from you two things. The first thing I ask of you is bring a notebook and a writing utensil. And write down some of the important notes that are mentioned in the lecture. If you don't write them down, you're not going to remember them throughout the rest of the year. If you don't write them down, you're not even going to remember them in the third majlis. So one, write it down. Two, talk about it. Some of you come as a family. When you're going back in your car, you're going home, as a family, talk about the material. What did the speaker say today? What do you think about it? Everybody should join into that conversation and have a conversation about it, inshaAllah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For tonight, let us take our hearts to Karbala. And imagine yourself tonight, Bainul Haramain, between the Haram of Abbas and Hussein. And though we wish to be in Karbala tonight, let us take our hearts over there by doing tawassul to Aba Abdullah. And I want you to open your hearts, I want you to raise your voices and call out to Imam al-Hussein. يا أبا عبد الله يا حسين ابن علي أيها الشهيد يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا. Once again, Ya
Wajihan Anda Allah, Ishfa' lana Anda Allah.
One day Di'bal enters into the presence of our eighth Imam. It was the month of Muharram or Safar. And he says, فَرَأَيْتُهُ جَالِسًا جِلْسَةَ الْحَزِينِ الْكَئِيبِ. I saw him sitting down in a way that a person who is filled with grief and sorrow, who is mourning a loss, sits down. But the moment the Imam saw a sha'ir of the Ahlul Bayt, he said to him, مَرْحَبًا يَا دِعْبَلِ مَرْحَبًا بِنَاصِرْنَا بِيَدِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ. Welcome, O Di'bal. Tonight, Imam Al-Mahdi is telling you, welcome, O the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. Welcome to the one who helps us with his hands and helps us with his speech. And then Di'bal says, he made me sit next to me. And after I had sat down over there, he said to me, يَا دِعْبَلْ أُحِبُّ أَن تَنْشُدَنِي شِعْرًا. I would like you to recite some poetry for me. فَهَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ أَيَّامُ حُزْنٍ فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ أَيَّامَ حُزْنٍ كَانَتْ عَلَيْنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. O Di'bal, these are the days of sorrow for us, the Ahlul Bayt. وأيام سرور كانت على أعدائنا. These are the days of joy for our enemies. And then he said to me, من بكى أو أبكى على مصابنا ولو واحدا كان أجره على الله. Whoever cries or makes somebody cry because of our hardships, even if he is alone, his reward is upon Allah. And then he says to him, Ya Di'bal, man baka ala musabi jaddi al-Husayn, ghafar Allahu lahu dhunuba. Whoever cries on the tragedy of Aba Abdillah, may Allah forgive all of his sins. And then he said to Di'bal, Ya Di'bal, irthil Husayn, recite the mercy of Husayn. And Di'bal says, he put a curtain between the ladies and the gents, and then he started to recite the mercy. And Di'bal recited for Imam al-Ridha, and he said, أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراتي. O Fatima, O daughter of Rasulullah, if only you had seen Al-Husayn being fought by Farad, and he died thirsty on the plains of Karbala. إذا لطمت الخد فاطم عنده وجريت دمع العين بالوجنات. O Fatima, had you been there, you would have been striking at your cheeks, and tears would be flowing from your eyes onto your cheeks. أفاطم قوم يا بنة الخير واندبي نجوم سماوات بأرض فلاتي. Rise of Fatima, O daughter of goodness, O daughter of Rasulullah, and more the stars that have fallen by Furat. Di'bal pointed to the thirst of Aba Abdillah. O Fatima, had you only been there on the day of Ashura, when Imam al-Husayn was so thirsty. Many of you, when you're thirsty with your family, and finally you get some water, first you think of your children, you think of the infants, you think of the young girls and boys, and then you think of yourself. Imagine Aba Abdillah on the day of Ashura. Ali ibn al-Akbar comes back from the battlefield, and he says to his father, Ya Abati, al-Atashu qad qatlani, wa thiqlu al-Hadid qad ajhadani. Oh my dear father, the thirst is killing me, and the weight of the iron is weighing me down. But imagine on that day when they brought Abdullah al-Radi, they brought Ali in al-Asghar, and Imam al-Husayn takes him to the battlefield, and he says, In lam tarhamuni, if you don't want to have mercy upon me, then have mercy on this young child, for he has not committed any crime. O Fatima, if only you had been there when Hussein was holding Ali ibn al-Asghar, and Hurmala put the arrow. سيعلم الذين